Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Jim. Pommel. Say good morning to Gary.
Gary, good morning. Gary.
Good morning, Jim.
How you doing? Your comments I found very disturbing, that you would favour going back to violence. When you think of the amount of lives that have been lost here, the amount of people who have suffered, children lost fathers, mothers lost sons, I could go on and go on.
I lived through it, mate. And let me tell you, that is...
Hold on, Gary. Have a listen to Jim, and then you can reply.
Let me talk, please. You went through it, I went through it, everyone in this country went through it. And everyone suffered in this country. And I don't know you, and I'm sure you're a perfectly decent fella, and I'm sure maybe you have children or family members. And I wouldn't wish on you that that for the sake of fighting for this country that you lost a member of your family or your own life. So your comments are totally ridiculous, because the past 40 years have proven that violence did not work. And the way forward this past 20 years was dialogue. And you know what? I have kids, and I don't know if you have kids, but I have kids. And thank God they can go to school.
Not everybody, Jim, agrees with the statement you've just made. There would be some people who would argue, for example, that the violence, and obviously there would be some people who wouldn't, but there would be some people who would argue that the violence from the IRA did get them somewhere. It did get their political partners, Sinn Féin, to a stronger negotiating position.
Let me nip that in the bud. I am not a spokesperson for Sinn Féin. I am a spokesperson for me, right? And all I am saying to you is, violence, whether it be Republican violence, loyalist violence, state violence, it just confounded the problem and made it worse. It made it a very protracted, long...
Can you understand, though, that Gary's heritage and his belief in his country is so strong that he would go to war to protect it?
I can say I have no problem with respecting Gary's belief that he's British, he wants to stay within the Union. What I take issue is that Gary's belief is so strong he would be prepared to take up arms, use violence, and that would often encompass killing people or hurting people. What's that going to solve? It's nothing. It's going to be another protracted wrong...
Well, let me tell you, Jim. Stephen made my point for me. Violence worked very, very well for Sinn Féin. You look where they are now.
Sinn Féin are a political party who did not engage in violence.
I'm sick of listening to that argument. Sinn Féin are a separate entity from the IRA. But do you know what happened?
If you let me make
my point, Gary, and it's a point actually in your favour. I feel for the working class loyalist and Protestant on the streets of any estate, because unionism have let the loyalist Protestant working class communities down. The only good Sinn Féin have brought their people along all the way. They're a very slick machine, and they were a very slick machine
that made their way on the back of political violence.
You're not addressing my point. My point.
Hold on, Jim. Let's. You got to listen to each other.
They made their gains and they brought their people along on the back of political violence. And to say violence doesn't work, I'm sorry to tell you this, but I lived through the troubles. I saw it at first hand. Loyalist violence brought Republicans to the negotiating table. So the same balance works, just is not living in the real world.
So you're not living in the real world. You saw it, loyalist violence by Republicans at the negotiating table. So they're as bad as each other. And what is it proving?
But who started it? It started with the IRA in 1921 when you refused to...
If you want to go into semantics, you can go back 800 years, but we need to look forward.
Hold on, Jim. One second. Gary.
Yes.
Is it not incredibly dangerous? Just listen to what you're saying here.
You're saying that violence works, Gary.
Is it not incredibly dangerous
to
say that? Is it not disturbing?
Look at your television screens every night. See Gerry Adams quoting the media all over the world, Sinn Féin political machine, all built on political violence. All of it.
Well, obviously Sinn Féin would dispute that, Gary.
Well, they could dispute what they like. They dispute that Gerry Adams was a member of the IRA too.
You're a very angry man, Gary. I can hear you. What's a lot of anger there? 100%.
I voted for the Good Friday Agreement, and you have walked away from it. You're putting the future of your children, my children. You are putting it all in jeopardy.
So, can I just make a point there? You've just alluded to the fact you have children, and I hope to have a long, happy life. Would you want your children to be going out and maybe some somebody
of course
should
you wouldn't.
There.
I mean, what are you coming up with?
What are you making such
did
a ridiculous
vote,
comment
did
about
Did you vote for the Good Friday Agreement, Jeremy?
I want my children to have a future in this country.
Well, I want my children to have a future too. Your comment
Andre,
is totally Andre ridiculous.
Murphy, what we're listening to today in the context of the 20th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement coming up on Tuesday, what are your thoughts here from what you're hearing on the air?
Two thoughts. The first one is that we have to make sure that whatever spaces we have in this debate, that we don't facilitate any discussion around legitimisation of a return to violence.
And 100% agree with you.
And the second thing that I want to say is that this actually demonstrates why Arlene Foster needs to engage in this debate in a much stronger way. We need to have a debate where we ensure that we respect each other's positions on this debate. We have it, but we do it completely within the parameters of a peaceful environment where we value our peace and we do not return to the past. Patrick Keilty's programme was very much couched in the human tragedy of our conflict and the difficult outstanding issues that are there. And you can see with just about everyone who participated in the programme, the hurt and pain they still live with. And we need to respect that, we need to remember it, and we need to ensure that this debate is held in a way that is mature and confident, but also respects the fact that we will never return to violence.
100%.
Sean and Ballymurphy.
Well,
morning, Sean.
I have to go here, so...
Okay, Gary, good morning. Morning to you. Go ahead, Sean.
Good morning, Stephen. Could I respond to something that Gary said there? He said the Good Friday Agreement fell when Sinn Féin walked away from the institutions. I'd like to remind Gary that the DUP have never signed up to the Good Friday Agreement. They have never accepted the principle of consent. The Good Friday Agreement failed when the DUP entered into Stormont and were admitted to administer rule here in the six counties. Now, moving on to Snarling and her position.
Well, hold on a moment. Look, is that really the way to go?
Is what really the way to go?
A little flippant comment like that, rather than, you know, she's a former First Minister, she's the leader of the biggest unionist party. Why can't you just call her Arlene?
Because she's been dubbed Snarling because of her demeanor.
That's the base level of commentary we'll make now about a politician, is it?
Yeah, well, she's not a politician.
Yes, she is.
What is she doing? She's a retired politician.
Well, she's clearly not.
How is she not? What is she doing?
But, well, come on, look, is there any point in going through? What is the point you're trying to make?
The point I'm trying to make is that the DUP and the unionist people will never and have never, and through Arlene's comment, it's been proved, they will never accept the principle of consent. So what we have been told all along...
Well, that's not what she said. Actually, she said that she would leave the country. She didn't say she wouldn't accept it.
Because she's not accepting the principle of consent.
Well, she could choose to live wherever she wanted and the outcome of a vote going
against
the way she
wanted to. We have been sold the Good Friday Agreement. And the biggest selling point to nationalist stroke Republicans was that at long last, people have accepted the principle of consent. Now, this was a massive selling point. This kept loads of people on board. Arlene has proven, and the likes of Gary there has proven, that unionist stroke loyalist people will never accept the principle of consent.
Alex? Ken?
Well, yeah, what the disappointing thing about this, Stephen, is that what is... A United Ireland debate has suddenly gone into this, you know, the snarling language and so on, and Gary's stuff about Republicans, which isn't... And I'm sorry, I can understand there's an emotional pull for a lot of people in backgrounds of 20, 30 years. I can understand that. Here's the reality. When the Good Friday Agreement was signed up to 20 years ago, it was built in that there would be the provision for a border poll at some point. We always knew. I wrote about it at the time. I think David Trimble talked about it. Peter Robinson talked about it at the time. We would reach the point at which there would be a very serious debate about United Ireland versus the United Kingdom. I have to tell you, Stephen, I actually believe, maybe I'm stupid, maybe I am just totally bonkers naive, but I actually do believe there's a very strong, valid, coherent argument to be made for the United Kingdom and the Union. And I just wish that sometimes unionists, instead of constantly saying, oh, we won't do this, we won't accept, always seeming to give that sense of sort of negativity, but actually keep saying, well, actually, here's the argument we're making. And the point about not consent, I'm sorry, that I can. There may be arguments between Sinn Féin and the DUP on certain issues over the past years. Again, I accept that. Unionists did buy into consent. The Ulster Unionist, part of which I was a member, bought into consent in 1998, when they signed the agreement, when they set up government, when they created an executive. We thought the DUP and Sinn Féin had worked that out at St Andrews. So just to blindly, blithely say that unionists will never, ever buy into consent, that is just complete nonsense, Stephen, because they have. And the other thing, it's worth just a little maybe point on Gary, because I don't know if he's still listening there, but there will be people who support him who are. If there's a majority to leave, for Northern Ireland to leave the United Kingdom, and go into part of a new Ireland, first of all, that's going to have to be debated. It doesn't just happen. You don't have the vote on the Thursday. You lose it, and then the following day is United Ireland. That'll take years of negotiation. But Gary and people like him have to understand when they say, we would fight to the last man for this. They may not have Westminster on their side. They may not have the rest of the UK government, because the UK government is standing over an international agreement, which is that in the event of Northern Ireland voting to leave the United Kingdom, they, along with the Irish government, will facilitate that decision. So when Gary talks about taking up arms, he's not taking up arms against Republicans. He is, in one sense, advocating, and I won't put too many words about it, but the suggestion would be that he may, in fact, be a civil war against his own government. There are huge questions here, and all of us, Stephen, every single one needs to have. Caution is required here. The simplest, stupidest word will cause problems for unionism and nationalism, and just for the people, Stephen, the ordinary people who just want something resembling normalcy in politics, whether it's the United Ireland or the United Kingdom, they just want something that looks bloody normal for a change.
Albert in Kilgormley has a question for Andre Murphy. Morning, Albert.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, first of all, can I say I didn't vote for the Belfast Agreement. The Belfast Agreement was brought into existence to placate the IRA, to bring the IRA away from violence. Yeah.
The point, Albert, is the majority in both jurisdictions did vote for the Good Friday Agreement.
Well,
that's the point, whether you did or not.
If you look at the Belfast Agreement, the great and the good were brought out with a propaganda machine all over Britain and all over Northern Ireland to get the vote that they got. That's what. And Sinn Féin never signed up for the Belfast Agreement. They use it as a process to move forward to their United Ireland. That's the way they look at it.
Well, there's a shock. Sinn Féin want the United Ireland. You know, what's your problem?
But the thing is, Stephen, where unionists are concerned, for the last 20 years, the war has not been over. Look at the culture war. The resistance groups against the parades. Now we have the bonfires. Then we had the arches
so
before
that. So what question
that.
Would you like to ask the likes of Andre Murphy this morning?
Well, I want to know, basically, from her, if she thinks that the United Ireland is a far better place for her, or the Republic is a far better place for her. What is she going to get better in a United Ireland than she is in with the United Kingdom? You know, if you look at the health service that we've got, if you look at other benefits that they've got,
let's let her
people
reply
are actually
you.
Coming from the south into the Northern Ireland to basically get the health service.
Let's let her reply.
Well, first of all, the United Ireland that I think about isn't exactly like the 26-county state that is currently in existence. I think it would be completely transformed in the context of the United Ireland just by virtue of the fact that we have all of the population of the North coming into it. And I think by virtue of that, there will have to be discussions around the health service. I think it will actually drop pretty close up to the top of the agenda, because one of the, you know, if I'm going to say that there's something in Britain that is really, really good, it's the health service. So there's no doubt about it that I think that those debates need to be had. But overall, I think what a United Ireland can offer us is a solid economy that we make decisions in our own right. The economy is drifting toward that anyway, whether you look at things like north-south interconnectors for your electricity, whether you look at the way trade is done. And we can see with the Brexit debate just how much we are an island economy at
okay.
all. But
why can't you make basically your life in the United Kingdom better than basically looking pie in the sky in another 20 or 30 years' time? You don't know what it's going to be. There's people living on the streets in Dublin like they are in Belfast.
You're 100%
you know, the thing
right.
is, that you have to pay for your health service in the south, where you can go to the doctors and you don't have to look at your bank balance before you go. You know, these kind of things, you can make a better life in the United Kingdom, but the problem is you're fixated with this United Ireland. That's all you're doing.
She's no more fixated with Albert. Albert, she's no more fixated with the United Ireland than you are fixated with the United Kingdom.
But we're living in the United Kingdom. Why don't we make it better? Why don't we try to make it better?
Albert.
Why don't we try to make Brexit better than, you know, once we come to the deal? You know, why don't we do that?
Well, what I'll say to you, Albert, is this, right? I moved up from Dublin to Belfast in 1994.
Well, hold on, Albert. Let her finish.
You must have thought Belfast was better than Dublin.
Albert, hold on.
And in 1998, I voted for an agreement that said that my citizenship, my identity, my language, my culture would be recognised in an equal way, and we would share this place on an equal basis, and we would find democratic ways to make it better. In the 20 years that has gone since, what we have found is that has been very difficult, and we have seen rights denied again and again. And even within the context of East-West relationships, we see that things like equal marriage don't happen, and we see that things like, you know, that we just find ourselves on the wrong side of the line of social progressiveness. While the South continues, and it had been completely regressive, is growing in terms of its own social progression. I see my rights being completely realised in a United Ireland. But I do not want that to happen without your rights being secured as well.
Okay.
And I think that is a huge challenge for us all. But we need to participate in the conversation together, despite each other.
Let's get two more calls in, then we're going to move on. George in Guildford. Morning, George.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning.
That woman, I mean, it's all right saying these things on all this talk. Arlene said she would go away from this country if United Ireland. Paisley said the same years ago. And I read the story about what happened down south after 1920, around that time. The Protestants come up here in droves because they were driven out of down south. And we get the same whenever this United Ireland, this woman's talking about this United Ireland, this thing about tolerance, respect and equality. It'll never be shown to Protestants whenever we have a United Ireland. We'll all have to go to Scotland or England where we're supposed to come from.
George, thank you. John in North Belfast. Morning, John.
Hello, Stephen. In support of Gary, right? And here is the crux for Sinn Féin and nationalism. As a loyalist, my allegiance is to the British Crown. Despite Sinn Féin, the SDLP and Alliance attempts to dismantle my Protestant way of life. And as history will show through the years, when Ulster is in trouble, people will rally round the flag.
Okay.
John, and if it comes to a civil war, then so be it.
Well, you say that, so be it, but my goodness, that's not a light thing to say. Now, just think of the implications of that. This is 20 years on, for goodness sake. John, thank you. Andre and Alex, thank you very much indeed.